a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
In the news this month, a drop in Itacarina's stellar wind, pulsar irregularities, and evidence of a wetter past on Mars. Supernovae are the violent explosions of massive stars, so bright that the events can be seen in distant galaxies. But not all apparent explosions are genuine supernovae. Some fall into the category of supernova imposters, the sudden increase in brightness of a star without the terminal explosion. One such imposter event was the great eruption of Eta Carina, a star which is amongst the most massive known in the Milky Way. Located 7,500 light-years away in the constellation of Carina, the star is 5 million times more luminous than the Sun, and an estimated 100 times as massive. Eta Carina underwent a massive but non-terminal explosion 150 years ago, allowing the close-up study of a supernova imposter. During the eruption, the star lost about 10% of its mass, throwing off the outer layers into the surrounding nebula. Since then, the star has been enshrouded in a thick cloud of dusty debris and has been losing material at the rate of one Jupiter mass per year in a strong stellar wind. Now, a team of researchers, led by Andrea Menner at the University of Minnesota, have observed dramatic changes in the star's spectrum. Observations over the last decade have shown an increase in the star's magnitude, but with no major long-term changes in its spectrum, something that might be expected following an event causing a major change in brightness. New observations carried out with the Space Telescope Imaging Spectrograph on the Hubble Space Telescope by Menner's team show a substantial change in the emission lines caused by specific elements in the star's atmosphere. According to the team, the sudden rapid decrease in the brightness of the emission lines, dropping to a third of their original strength in just 10 years, suggests a decrease in the strength of the stellar wind, possibly signifying a much more rapid return to the pre-explosion state than was previously anticipated. With the wind density decreasing, the nebula should begin to thin, and the star itself may become visible to modern telescopes for the first time, possibly within the next decade. There are other explanations which may account for the unusual spectroscopic developments, including a change in the latitude dependence of the wind, but the complicated nature of the surrounding nebula and the difficulties in constructing accurate models make an accurate assessment problematic. After massive stars like Eta Carina explode, the object left behind is thought to be either a neutron star or a black hole, depending on the final mass of the progenitor star. Also known as pulsars, neutron stars have strong magnetic fields and behave somewhat like cosmic lighthouses, projecting beams of radio emission into space as they spin. Studying the pulses of radiation as the beams sweep past the Earth can provide valuable information on the physics of these extreme objects, allowing astronomers to probe physics under conditions which are not possible to create in a terrestrial laboratory. While pulsars are known to be extremely accurate natural clocks, their pulse rates are very stable over time, there are, however, unexplained deviations from the expected spin rate, a phenomenon known as timing noise. Now, a team led by Andrew Lyne at the University of Manchester have uncovered a mechanism which could explain this noise. Over long timescales, the rate at which a pulsar spins, known as the spin-down rate, decreases slowly, in a predictable way, due to the conversion of rotational energy into photons. By studying a large number of pulsars repeatedly over 40 years, the team found that the deviations from the expected spin-down rate were actually quasi-periodic on timescales between 1 and 10 years, and that several other pulsar characteristics may be linked to the same phenomenon. One particular pulsar, known as B1931+24, only displays radio pulses intermittently, and long-term studies show that it had two different spin-down rates. Its spin rate decreased faster when the radio signal was detectable. The team analysed the data on a large sample of pulsars and found a further 17 which show evidence of quadriperiodic spin-down rates, many of which also show variations in the shape of the pulse profile. The authors suggest that the likely explanation is that the pulsar's magnetosphere is switching between two distinct states. Exactly what causes the pulsar to switch between states is not yet known, but if the changes can be accurately modelled, then the timing noise can be reduced, and astronomers will find it easier to compensate for errors in pulsar clocks in highly sensitive experiments designed to detect gravitational waves. The southern highlands of Mars are thought to be ancient, largely unaltered material from an earlier epoch in the planet's history. Evidence from mineral deposits in the form of hydrated silicates points to a time when the conditions on the surface allowed water to exist as a liquid. Unlike the southern highlands, however, the younger northern lowlands are covered by thick lava flows and sediments from past episodes of geological activity, thought to cover older surfaces similar to the much older southern highlands. Now, a team led by John Carter of the University of Paris have found hydrated clay minerals in the northern lowlands that match those in the highland areas of the south. The team used data from instruments on both the European Space Agency's Mars Express and NASA's Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter to examine impact craters where asteroids have exposed underlying ancient material up to several kilometres deep. Their results, published in the journal Science, show evidence of hydrated minerals similar to those found in the southern highlands in 9 of the 91 craters they examined, and the authors suggest that this is evidence that the planet had the right conditions for liquid water to exist on a global scale more than 4 billion years ago. And finally, the first global map of gravitational anomalies from the European Space Agency's Gocky satellite has been released. The Gravitational Field and Steady State Ocean Current Explorer satellite, or Gocky, was launched in March 2009 and has been accurately mapping the Earth's gravitational field for the last 12 months. Based on just 2 months of data, the first map shows the Earth's geoid in the highest resolution yet obtained. The geoid is essentially the shape of an imaginary ocean covering the Earth's surface, affected only by the Earth's gravity, without the effects of tides or currents. The shape of the geoid will help in measuring ocean circulation and sea level changes caused by global warming, as well as in many other fields of Earth science and oceanography. The satellite is continuing to orbit at just 254.9 kilometres, the lowest sustained orbit by any Earth observation satellite, and each 2-month chunk of data will improve the accuracy of the geoid model.